Radio.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you WrestleTalk Radio.
Politically incorrect? And damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid Peter Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your hosts.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Jim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
This is kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See? I just kicked stamp!
Kenny Omega.
We got the
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Omega, the all-end-all of the WTR Network. Once again, leading the way because Tim Stein, once again, not here. Though this is over personal reasons, so I'm going to withhold any shots at him this week.
You may be too good for that, but I'm not.
Some of us have standards, thank you.
Listen, I'm sorry, we can't be all as high as mighty as you, Mr. Press Release.
Listen, I spent all fucking weekend in a suit, okay?
What?
A suit.
Who died?
No, my sister got married.
Oh. Congrats.
I even gave a speech at her wedding.
Whoa.
One that wasn't full of insults and swear words, and actually was very heartfelt and mushy.
Did you have right at the end movie reference, name drop, I'm going to bed?
I did not. I did not.
No,
I can't have it.
End. So yes, no Tim Stein this week. Can we make a habit out of this?
I'm trying, dude.
Just let the OTL crew handle every show.
Damn right.
This seems to happen a lot. Whenever we skip an OTL, there's no Tim to handle all this grunt work on WTR.
Which is good, because nobody likes Tim anyway.
It's Tim.
So mean.
Why not? Why can't we be mean? You gotta remember, this is the wrestling show Spug and I can relax on and just say whatever the hell we want, because we have to, like, PG it up on Tuesdays.
Okay, point.
Listen, I had to be good yesterday. I had to behave myself at my sister's wedding.
And I'm sure it ate at you the whole time.
No, really, it wasn't that bad. What pissed me off more than anything yesterday was...
How many raids did you miss?
Didn't miss any. What pissed me off more than anything was when I sat down, every fucking time I sat down, someone would grab me to go do something else.
You don't like being Mr. Popular?
I don't like being everybody's runner.
Ah. Yeah, that part's not fun. Yeah, there's a little dead air here, unfortunately. My dinner came in just before we went on air.
You need a better dinner delivery service.
No kidding. But you know what? It's a porterhouse steak. I don't care.
Lucky bastard. Mr. Steaks. Do you ever come down? Is this your version of coming down from Mount Olympus and you know, socializing with us mere mortals.
Olympus, Asgard, it'd at least be topical with our god humor.
I'm going to see that. I'm
got the hair, so.
I'm going to see that movie on Monday, I believe.
Nice.
I saw it last week. And
don't ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm just going to say it's not bad. I was expecting something absolutely horrible, but this wasn't bad.
I've read a lot of reviews and watched a lot of trailers for it.
Reviews have always been mixed for it. It all depends on how well you know the character.
Yeah, okay, so I guess we have, if Spug sees it, we'll have something to discuss on OTL.
I know what we should do on Wednesday for the music, by the way.
What is that?
We should do All of Monomarth.
Because
It's a band from Sweden, and all their songs are about Norse mythology. All of them.
Interesting.
They even have a song called Guardians of Asgard.
Okay. Okay. Well, we haven't had a music night in a while. I can go there.
In that case, I want to try and veto whatever the hell stupid theme Alan's going to have on Tuesday. We're going to have a TV show theme night.
Oh, I'm sure he'll have another dumb one.
Damn him for not ending his movie soundtrack night with Star Wars.
Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, where we complain about the other shows on the network.
Yes! Yes! Actually, Rock. You're playing the wrong song. I'm here. There's another one you should be playing.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Since he has to he had to play nice all weekend, he has to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go blow up a planet now.
Nothing gets you back into your mean-spirited mood like genocide.
So yes, Omega, you're in lead of the show.
Yeah, supposedly.
I was waiting for my song.
Rock's probably taking a minute. He'll probably play it at the break for you.
I don't think I'm going to get it, though.
No, let's just go on with the show here. Gentlemen, do you realize that the discussion we just had that had absolutely nothing to do with wrestling actually lasted longer than Christian's title run?
So true.
By the way, we were waiting for you to sneak out and stab somebody at the TV taping.
Oh, God. Remember when the belts used to have storylines and they would actually, you know, like, give somebody a month with a belt before taking it off of them?
Forget storyline. You remember when they had meaning?
I'm not that old.
I mean, seriously, Ric Flair back in the 80s talked about how important it was to be the NWA Heavyweight Champion because the NWA Heavyweight Champion at that point got bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went around all the different territories. The WWE or WWF was originally the Northeastern promotion. And then they became this international company. And their belt still had meaning. The WWF heavyweight title belt still had meaning.
Right.
And then in the 90s, it changed. It changed. From, Austin was really the last champion that I can think of that belt meant something. Because once it left Austin, it went to The Rock, then it went to Mankind, then it went back to The Rock, and then to Triple H, and then to so on, and 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 so on. And then they united the belts, and that was the last time that belt actually meant something. And since then, we've had this dreck of heavyweight champions in the WWF, followed by the 2-day title run of Christian What a way to give somebody a favor. Oh, here's the, we don't think you're anything more than a mid-carder. Oh, we know you had the NWA World Heavyweight title around your waist for a while, but we don't think you're anything more than a mid-carder.
But is there a chance that this could be the start of a larger storyline?
No.
Mm-mm.
Unfortunately not, because right now they see Randy Orton as the face of SmackDown, the same way that John Cena is the face of Raw. They want him to be the focus of the storylines involving the belt. And they're not going to have the first match, they're not going to have his first feud face versus face. The only thing that bugs me about that logic is, like, I can understand, okay, Orton, admittedly, much bigger star than Christian. I will concede that. However, the argument was they wanted to make Orton the centerpiece of the storylines on SmackDown. I can go with that, except that is no reason for putting the championship on him in his first match on the show, because the guy you're comparing him to, John Cena, went 10 months without the damn belt, and he was still the most important thing on the show.
You know, here's the thing. Here's one of the things that really just kind of agitate me, is that you took an individual in Rey Mysterio and built a show on him and built a show on the death of Eddie Guerrero. Because I guarantee you, nobody in the back thought Rey Mysterio, World Heavyweight Champion, until Eddie died. Right?
Most likely.
And then you have Edge retires, and you have some bit of a plausible scenario in which Christian should be vying for the title with Del Rio. Because of storylines previous to WrestleMania. And yet, we bring in a guy over to SmackDown in the draft who isn't in the title picture, who all of a sudden is now the champion, who was on SmackDown, before last week's pay-per-view, and you couldn't find a way to put him into that match and make it a triple threat match? I mean, if you were gonna put the title on Orton anyway, why smack Christian in the face and give him a 2-day title run?
Here's how little they think of Christian. Because that moment at that show had absolutely nothing to do with Christian. They saw that as the final moment for Edge. They wanted that to be Edge's last big moment in the WWE for a while. Christian was as much a prop in that moment as the world title was.
Well, what I'm saying is that that's a severe, that's even a slap in the face to Edge. I mean, it really is. So why, at that point, do you not just put Randy Orton in the title in that match? He's already on SmackDown. You already have the plan to put the title on him at the next taping.
Right.
So. Just put him in the pay-per-view match and put the title on him 2 days earlier. And then you don't look like a bunch of fucking morons.
It's not just that they look like morons. It's that everyone in this scenario is insulted. The fans who have been wanting Christian to win the belt, me included, everyone who, you know, he got a really nice pop on SmackDown when he came out as the world champion for the first time. You could tell the crowd was digging Christian. He was over, but it's disrespectful to Edge to throw him in that situation. It's disrespectful for the world title, disrespectful to Christian, even disrespectful to Orton in a way. You can't even give him an honest storyline or view to win the belt for. You just throw it on him just because.
I don't necessarily know if it's an insult to Orton per se, because Orton at this point is just sort of a pawn in everything. I think the one person that it really, really, really insults, and I know you hate him, You don't understand why they're pushing him. But the one person it really insults is Alberto Del Rio. Because what you're saying is that you are not capable, one, of carrying a heavyweight title storyline. Two, you know, it tells people that Alberto Del Rio was just given this push to be given a push. You know?
Isn't that the whole thing?
No, but I think
Del Rio was getting a push for a push.
But I think Del Rio really could have been a main eventer and you know, in the title picture. I really do. I don't. They did the same thing to Sheamus. You know, they pushed Sheamus like that. So I don't necessarily think it was a bad thing. I really think that with the way everything has gone down, it's really just kind of insulted Del Rio in a way that is slightly unforgivable.
But tell me this, like, alternate scenario time. Say you give Christian till the next pay-per-view with the belt. Del Rio gets his rematch. Del Rio wins the belt, drops the belt the following Tuesday or Friday, in quotation marks, to Orton. Will we be having the same conversation?
No.
Well, you're also talking a strange scenario there. You're talking cross promotion a month after the draft.
Yeah, because Del Rio went to Raw. I think there was a better choice for a transitional champion than Christian.
Well, from what reports were saying, the only feud that the office decided Christian could be in was against Mark Henry.
Like I said, there is nobody in this situation who has not been slapped in the face here.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I sort of feel, like, a bit sorry for Randy Orton, because he's copped a ton of hate because of this decision from fans. When, in reality, he had nothing to do with it. It's the office who decides who gets the belt.
I think what Christian really needs to do, and I don't think, I don't necessarily know if he would ever go back to TNA, but he really needs to just go heel and get a hold of a microphone and let people hear him. You know? Let him talk.
Yeah. That is one flaw that he has right now. As in the face role, he doesn't get to talk the way that he's capable of talking. Now he as a face is very much over right now, but it isn't giving him the opportunity to shine the way he should be able to.
Right.
Yeah, I could see him at least being a decent heel. But the thing is, what's the reason for his heel turn? Like, why does he, as a character, suddenly do all the heelish things? Because he's always been, you know, Captain Charisma. He's always been about his peeps.
Yeah, and he just got back onto the peep bandwagon. There's a brand new Peep Show t-shirt.
Did you buy it already?
At WWEshop.com? No.
Oh. I think with the whole draft and everything, pretty much since they hit the panic button, things are just not going to make any sense at all. For quite a while, and unfortunately there are going to be casualties of this, and obviously the first one is Christian.
This is such an, everything about this is just such a knee-jerk reaction. Like, supposedly, according to the reports, Christian winning the belt was an audible. Like, you know, they called during the match, like, you know, this is just what they had planned off the top of their heads. So they weren't even thinking about it up until halfway through the damn match.
Wow. If that's the case, that really shows
how
fucked up it is.
how hard, like I said, because I was reading articles on this all last week, it wasn't that hard to fucking put Randy Orton
No, it wasn't. And what would we have missed out on? Randy Orton versus CM Punk 13?
Well, yeah, no, and that's fine. But it's not that hard. I mean, you could have found something else to do with CM Punk. And it really, it wouldn't have been that hard to stick Randy Orton in that match. Not one bit. And have a triple threat ladder match and put the belt on Orton right then and there. Sense, motherfuckers. Do you make it?
Mace, it seems everyone's using your line these days.
Yeah, I know. I seem to have created something popular. Yes, I do notice you used my line in your latest review.
You popped for it, too.
I so did. I'm not going to lie.
I wanted to know why the alien duck knew Japanese. That's all.
Now, I'm just wondering with this whole, we discussed the idea of Christian going heel, but what about if Randy turns heel from here?
What point does he have to turn heel?
Randy Orton?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Heads to kick.
No. Think about it. At WrestleMania 19, when Austin turned heel, okay? Was it 19? Was it 18 or 19? I can't remember. I can't remember which one it was.
17.
17.
The Rock.
All you have to do on this show is say, I can't remember. And Rock just immediately, like Wikipedia.
But anyway, when Austin turned heel and joined McMahon, and then, they did the two-man power trip with Austin and Triple H, it made a little bit of sense the way they did it and when they did it. And up until that point, Austin had been a mega heel, and, he was the rattlesnake. He'd turn on you in a heartbeat. The thing with Randy Orton, though, is that he's been a face for quite a while and molded himself in that kind of Austin way. But the way he's gone about it is that at the moment, he has no reason, he has absolutely no reason to turn heel.
Right.
Could it just be that he snaps?
Yeah, but he has to have a reason. There has to be some underlying cause as to why he would snap.
Reason can be, he's come over from Raw, where he was basically playing second fiddle to guys like John Cena for so long. He comes over to SmackDown, he sees Christian as the top of the mountain for SmackDown, and goes, fuck that. I'm not going to have that. This is now my show. I'm taking this. This is where I make my name. Turn it into an ego trip.
He did that when he first came in. I mean, when he first came into the WWE, he was the Legend Killer.
Well, actually, when he first came into the WWE, he was like this little sports boy with blue shorts.
Yeah, well, you know what I meant.
History, motherfucker, do you know it?
Fuck you! I will stab you in the motherfucking face.
Well, Spug, you were the one that had to be reminded which WrestleMania Austin turned on.
It's been a long weekend.
All right, I think we are in agreement right now that if they're going to do anything like this, Christian has to be the one that turns the heel in this case.
Yes.
Catch is, nobody in this situation has a reason to turn heel.
This is true.
Then again, that seems to be the trend, lately. Mark Henry just decided he wanted to hurt people again. So now
he's
a heel.
That's only because KFC told him they wouldn't serve him anymore.
Switching to Popeyes, motherfucker. And let's see, R-Truth just turned heel out of nowhere. Because apparently it was such a sin for him to drink water before a match.
Yeah. That's right up. That's got to be right up there in the top 10 lamest reasons to turn heel. drinking water. You're a bad guy.
Oh, God. Yeah, thank you, Rock. I was about to bring that up. At least it's not over a shampoo commercial. Not one of Edge and Booker T's finer moments. Do you guys realize that was a WrestleMania feud?
Yeah.
It was a Japanese shampoo commercial.
They're supposedly pretty big over there. Even you would like to have your own Japanese shampoo commercial.
Yeah.
DJ Omega Shampoo! You could be the new Mr. Sparkle.
You like Schwarzenegger does. He goes over, he goes over there once a month to do some batshit crazy commercial.
Pretty much what it was.
That's exactly what it was. I dug up this energy drink commercial he did over there where it's basically him laughing maniacally at the camera while coins shoot out of his nipples.
Wait, what?
And on that note, it's time for the first break of the night.
Wait, what?
Spug, I will link you to something either during commercial or after the show.
Fair enough. Still not my song, Rock.
If you close your eyes, your title will be gone before you open them again. You are listening to WTR Sunday Night. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Hey Wild Talkers, Tim Stein here to tell you about our current contest. We call it Show Us Your WTR. If you do, you can win.
Kick ass, dude!
All you have to do is take a photo of yourself, family, or friends holding a Wild Talk Radio sign.
Oh, righty then.
Then send it in to us.
You've got mail.
You bastard! Once we receive your photo, you are automatically entered to win a DVD of your choice.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
All entries will be eligible for our grand prize drawing at the end of the contest period. Grand prize to be announced at a later date. Great weekly programming here at Wild Talk Radio, totally free for the listening. Plus now, we are paying you for being loyal fans.
Holy crap, dude!
Be as creative as you want with your pictures. Just make sure you send them to admin@wildtalkradio.com as soon as possible.
No!
And ladies,
If you want to write Wild Talk Radio across your chest and snap a pic, you win automatically.
Swing!
We're just nice people that way. Just make sure you are at least the age of majority so nobody gets in trouble. Just dirty looks. If you ladies do choose this option, include your DVD choice when you send the photo. And you don't have to show your face if you feel brave enough to send this pic.
Does this seem weird?
Hey, it pays to listen to Wild Talk Radio.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
All right, wrestling fans. This is Rick the Model Martel. Yes. Of course, the one and only, the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, a network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance is not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
And welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm quite sure that we have other hosts here who would probably do the welcome backs, but hey, let's treat this like an OTL.
Which means I sit back and let everyone do the bumpers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fuck you.
Okay, I hate to do this to you guys. Blame Rock. We have to talk a little TNA. I'm sorry.
Considering one of the topics, it'll be the last time we ever say that phrase.
Bug. Get a grip.
I don't want to talk to TNA.
Shut up.
It hurts me in my no-no place.
I don't know whether to be happy to be hearing this or the fact that it pops up when we're talking about TNA.
For those playing along at home, Spug can summon Darth Vader by mentioning his no-no place.
I thought the no-no place would attract the Emperor.
Actually, when I said no-no place, a Catholic priest just showed up at my door and that song happened to pop on. Just saying.
You would have been dying.
So, real quick side, because I mentioned Catholic priest. My sister, when she got married this weekend, did not use a minister. They had a non-religious ceremony, had a magistrate do the ceremony for them. Yeah. And my mom kept calling him a minister. And the magistrate looked at my mom and goes, "Madam, if you call me a minister one more time, I might burst into flames. I haven't been to church in 32 years.
Just the person you want officiating over a wedding.
Dude, he was awesome. Awesome. But anyway, yeah. So we're going to talk about TNA changing the name from Impact to Impact Wrestling?
Yep. Not a company-wide thing like they were originally speculating. This is just the name of TNA Impact. Is now TNA Impact Wrestling.
No, they're actually trying to phase TNA out.
Well, it's still the company name.
No, I think they're trying to change it.
No, they're talking of phasing it out.
They might still be
registered as TNA, but everything will be Impact Wrestling.
Right.
Yeah, they're just going to be known as Impact Wrestling.
Which, indie fed does that sound?
No shit, dude.
Well, here's the thing. There is a logic to this, and if you're looking through TV Guide or on the TV Guide channel or whatever, and you see TNA Impact, you might have no fucking clue what that is. I mean, if you're a casual pro wrestling fan, there is nothing in that title that tells you it is going to be pro wrestling.
Hey, if I was looking through TV Guide and I saw something that said TNA Impact and I didn't know it was wrestling, I'd probably tune into that more than actual Impact Wrestling.
The thing is they're going to call themselves Impact Wrestling, right?
Yep.
And then eventually they're going to have the Impact Wrestling Championship. Okay.
Yeah.
Impact Wrestling X Division Championship.
No. Somebody's going to be the IWC champion. Oh, TNA, how apropos, because the internet wrestling community are the only people that care about you. Yuck. I made it funny.
Who invited Master Splinter on the show?
Oh, boy. You people, it's not open mic night.
Bullshit.
Tim's not here. We do not have our favorite target.
Doesn't not going to stop me from taking pot shots at him.
Still, it's like Robin Hood having to settle for a tree stump to shoot at.
Sometimes you just need a little bit of practice.
Mace has got a point.
All right. Can't let anyone get rusty. So I think we agree here that this. Okay. Is there a sense to the change, or is this just idiocy?
It's idiocy.
Yeah. It's TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call them. Going. WWE doesn't want to be called wrestling. Guess what? We're going to focus on wrestling. Mind you, they don't actually have any wrestling on their programs, which makes it pretty stupid.
Yeah. And you mentioned the X Division Championship. when's the last time you saw that?
I can't even remember who holds it these days. I think Kaz has got it, but I haven't seen him with the belt in like 3 months.
I know nobody in the X Division's happy right now.
Would you be? I wouldn't.
Well, see, I would tell you exactly who it was, but they're in the X Division. I don't know who they are.
Can't be Jay Lethal, because they got rid of him.
which is more idiocy.
Uh-huh.
How do you have... Okay. The one thing we could say about TNA in its first, in its first few years, the X Division was incredible. It was the rebirth of the cruiserweight division we loved from WCW. And when they started phasing that out, little by little. What do we say? Well, they have a women's division that we wish were, you know, that we wish the Divas were even half of what, yeah, even half of what the Knockout division was.
And they got rid of that, and then we're like, oh, they still have tag team wrestling.
Now they got rid of that. Yeah, and barely tag team wrestling these days.
It's WCW, dude.
Hey.
Abandon ship.
It's WCW. And for as smart a marketing person as Dixie Carter is, in this situation, she's a fucking moron.
This is what happens when you let Hogan and Bischoff steer the boat. You hit the rocks.
I don't necessarily entirely think it's all Hogan and Bischoff. I think part of it...
You talk TNA and Spud goes to sleep. Typical.
I think part of it has to do with Dixie's steadfastness in individuals like Russo, whom have been proving over the year that, you know, over the years that because he had a filter in Vince is what made him that brilliant.
I like your theory, and I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
You know, he I don't think it's entirely Bischoff and Hogan. I think TNA was a sinking ship to begin with. You know, I think TNA was already on the way down.
They got off on a wrong foot by letting the guy who runs the place carry the belt. That's never a good idea.
Well, that was back when Jarrett owned it. I mean, Jarrett and his daddy owned it, and then Jarrett's daddy got out of it and went back to work for Vince.
Like I said, you get off on the wrong foot. They had a good, like, man, we remember the early days of TNA. They were really good. You could really see where they could be competition to the WWE one day. They've just floundered, though.
Well,
it's not even that. Like, I actually caught an episode of TNA Epics that's being replayed down here at the moment. And I was watching matches from 2005, and I found them entertaining. And that wasn't even, like, a great time for TNA either. Well, that was also because I was laughing so hard at a semi-drunken Scott Hall in an Elvis costume.
Well, I think part of it has to do with, this past January, but January before, when they went head to head against Raw, and Tim got all goo-goo-eyed over TNA. Oh, they're finally gonna show WWE their real competition. They're fight. And I said, no, they're not. They're gonna fold. And nobody listened. I sat here and said at the top of my lungs that they were gonna fold, that they didn't have the chutzpah to continue on and carry on, and that they were gonna end up bowing out of the race. And they did. They ultimately did. And I think what part of it is that they tried so hard to be like WWF/WWE that they didn't even they didn't stop to realize that they have an alternative product that people would be extremely interested in, you know, with the cruiserweights, with the tag team wrestling, with the women's wrestling, and a very stout heavyweight roster that, you know, people would actually tune in and watch. And yet, you know, here we are a year later, and they still suck.
Yeah, I hate to say it, just because I want TNA to do well. I want there to be competition. I want there to be an alternative, but it's a sinking ship right now. And speaking of hitting the rocks, China's back.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, really? I saw that the other day.
Yeah, for those who don't know, TNA brought in China on a handshake agreement. My question to you, gentlemen, what the fuck?
I do not know.
It makes no sense.
How long has it been since she was even in a wrestling spotlight? What, 9 years?
A long time.
Yeah. The last time we saw her was, what, Celebrity Rehab?
Something like that.
Where, of all people, X-Pac had to come in and be the sensible one?
It just...
God.
It hurts my brain to even think about it.
I think it hurts everybody's brain. As long as our head hurts this much, do we want to do a quick rundown of Sacrifice?
No. But we're going to end up doing it anyway, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're sort of required.
All right.
We blame Rock. Remember this. It's all his fault. Okay, we start off with a very absolutely nothing going on match, Abyss versus Crimson. Which,
yay.
Does anyone remember that Crimson was supposed to be like related to Amazing Red?
Amazing who?
Exactly. Oh, he's in the X Division, so no one remembers him. Tag match, Mexican America versus Ink Ink.
Yawn.
Yes,
yes, we're Mexican America. We're LAX version 2.0, and we still suck.
Mexican American! Pow, pow.
LAX version 1 with Conan. Meh. Version 2 was just Hernandez and Homicide. Okay. Good tag team. Very solid tag team. Yeah, not working now. Let's see. TNA Knockouts Championship, Madison Rain versus Mickey James.
For like the 86th time?
Yeah, we might actually have a match this time.
Oh, please. Somebody will break something a week beforehand and screw everything up.
poor Mickey. Yo. This is the sad thing. The girl can jump off a cage and be fine. But, oh, no, bang my shoulder.
And the silliest thing is, this is pretty much to try and break Tara away from Madison Rain.
Pretty much.
So instead of having Tara turning around and going, you're a little kid that thinks she can wrestle, and yeah, see this elbow? Bang to your face, bitch.
TNA Tag Team Championship, Beer Money defending against Matt Hardy and 3 question marks.
I know
who it is. I wonder
who
that kid
is. I know who it is.
Well, do you care to fill everybody in?
It's Brayden Walker. And you think I'm kidding.
No.
It's Chris Harris.
100%.
No,
otherwise known as Brayden Walker.
Yeah, I know you're not kidding, but Brayden Walker just makes me laugh.
That was terrible. Everybody laughing, including Chris Harris.
Now, here's the question. Who's going to be fatter in this match, Hardy or Harris?
Oh, it'd be Hardy.
There's a reason he's called Fat Hardy.
Fat Hardy, the twist of cake. All right.
The twist of icing!
NH was listed as a challenge match. It's intergender, Kurt Angle, and 3 more question marks.
China.
Yeah, can we designate that these 3 question marks are different than Matt Hardy's question marks?
They both look the same.
Just because they look the same doesn't mean they are the same. What matters is what's inside Spug.
One of these things is not like the other.
What do you mean? They both had dicks.
Oh. Okay, so Kurt Angle and
you're welcome for the nightmares.
versus the Jarretts. So Karen Angle will be stepping into a wrestling ring.
See, that's where the challenge is. Let's make Karen look good.
I would normally say that'd be a challenge, but I've seen China wasted on TV many a time.
Am I the only one who's had it with the whole Karen Jarrett, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett storyline?
I was done with it when it was a real thing. I didn't need to see it in a storyline in the first place.
Mace.
Yes?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Never mind. I'm trying to get away from TNA. I'm really trying desperately. Because it just baffles me. TNA baffles me.
Well, we're almost.
Yeah, there's two more to go. Gut it out. Come on. We can get through this. X Division Championship, Max Buck versus, Kazarian is the champion. Good
and
call.
We still don't care.
We don't give a fuck. No. And the TNA World Heavyweight Champion title match, TNA Championship for now. Rob Van Dam versus the Icon and Elderly Sting.
You know, we were bitching about how they shit on Christian, the WWE did.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ. Talk about somebody getting shit on.
Hey.
Poor, Mr. Anderson here has just really gotten shit on.
Yeah, not on the card in the least. Not on the card, not in any title match, not in the world title picture right now.
We just wanted to let you know that a week ago or a month ago, you were good enough to be our champion. Now, sorry.
Yeah, don't have anything for you. We're not even going to pay for your mic to get lowered down anymore. No, mercifully, that is over. We have no more TNA topics.
Yeah, but then we got to cover the bloody thing.
Oh God!
And the only reason why we're doing the preview is probably because the pay per view is next week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn it!
It is.
Oh, hurts enough.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So we were talking about SmackDown a minute ago, right?
Sure.
And I wanted to bring this up. I don't remember if this was on the rundown or not, but there was a report that came out of the WWE that most people in the back essentially believe that Undertaker is retired. Done.
Right.
And therefore, that's why Michelle McCool is leaving to be at home with him, and that his health is far worse than anybody suspected, and that he will not be on WWE television or at a live event until possibly next year's WrestleMania.
You are correct, sir.
So why the fuck didn't you retire him this year? Forget the 20-0 bullshit, because we all know you're not going to saddle anybody with that kind of streak at WrestleMania again.
But that'd be the whole thing. They want to try and get that 20-0 out of him.
It's a slap in the face now.
Well, if we've seen anything from WWE lately, they're very good at slapping people in the face.
When I read that, I just sat here at my chair and was like, Rick's kind of flabbergasted as to, you know, as to why you would kind of allow that to continue. I mean, you have CM Punk bitching about guys about, like, The Miz and Alberto Del Rio getting bigger pushes than he is. And yet, as someone as legendary as The Undertaker, and I know for a fact that somehow, some way, this will get back to him. So, let me make it perfectly clear. I have all the respect in the world for The Undertaker and what The Undertaker has done. I have been a big fan of The Undertaker and The Undertaker gimmick since I was a little kid. Since he first terrified me at WrestleMania 7? And the Survivor Series 91 and then WrestleMania. I've been a giant fan of his. But at this point in time, he should have enough respect for the fans and enough respect for the business and, frankly, enough respect for himself to realize he can't walk down that aisle and step between those ropes anymore. His career is done. Forget 20-0. Forget all that shit. Have enough respect for the business that you help mold to step away and do the proper fucking thing like every legend leaving a territory and go out on your back.
And another worthy rant from Spug.
Well, just while we've still got a slight bit of a topic about The Undertaker, I've been able to get my hands on the WrestleMania 27 DVDs.
Yeah.
And I noticed something very peculiar. I put on The Undertaker Triple H match. And I'm like, alright, time to sort of sit back and watch this all over again. Triple H's entrance. Wait a minute. This is not For Whom the Bell Tolls. So they got rid of that, replaced it with a generic. I'm like, okay. It's a Metallica song, they've done this before. Undertaker comes out to the classic.
Does he come out of Johnny Cash?
Yeah. He doesn't come out to Johnny Cash, he comes out to the classic entrance music that he usually has. So I'm like,
interesting.
We lose Metallica, but we gain the proper music for Undertaker. fair trade-off? I just thought I'd share that with you.
That is the magic of how complex the production level is these days. You know, even if they blare one thing over the PA system, they can just take that out and put whatever they want in there.
Yeah. Mind you, I will say this, like, I was able to get a hold of the standard, what is called the standard edition, which is just the event, no extras, no nothing. So if you want to see, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, you'll have to get the 3-disc DVD or the 2-disc Blu-ray.
So you gotta pay a whole lot to see Daniel Bryan get screwed out of his first WrestleMania match.
Pretty much.
Well, Mace, watching the Undertaker, DVD, his DVD, they do a lot of that. They do a lot of, like, his music from Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit. They do a lot of editing it out and just putting in some sort of generic.
Yeah, because once they put it on DVD, they've got to release it for a length of time. you know, there's never any guarantee of how long that the contract for that music is going to go for.
Right.
Yeah, if the license expires, they'd have to pull the DVDs.
Yeah, true.
Such is the world of entertainment.
But mind you, though, actually seeing The Undertaker coming out at this year's WrestleMania with his standardized music, it actually made the entrance feel, yeah, better. This is what they should have done from the beginning. Screw you, Johnny Cash.
Fuck Johnny Cash. All right.
I believe it would be time for one of to do the break thingy.
Oh yeah. Once again, there's a break here that we are obligated to take. So, stay tuned. We have roundtable, great debate with no Tim Stein, so no ties this week. Stay tuned.
Yay!
We are coming. Stay tuned. We are coming right back.
Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane.
At least they're not.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Extreme retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get by on my fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live. Midnight, we're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
idea. This is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh yeah, dig it!
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. No Tim Stein tonight, only Mace, Spug, and Omega. And Omega's actually meant to be leading the show, which explains why I am doing the bumper.
Yeah!
Well, Omega, lead the fucking show, come on!
Mr. Professional?
Mr. Professional? Mr. Hey. I'm everywhere, or not?
Hey! Mr. Press Release. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Have you actually been able to leave your room lately, seeing as your head's that fucking large?
Yeah. just left the room to get cookies.
Mace, we talked about this. We both knew there'd be a day when Omega got too big for you and I.
Oh, true. But then, you know, life has this nice little way of bringing people back to Earth, namely in a small dog that creates scratches on his hands.
Dog is ruining my career. I don't know why he thinks fingers are...
Not the one from WWE, the concept.
Don't mention her name.
Why, is she going to walk into your room and give you an implant buster?
I don't even have implants.
She'll put them in you and then give you the implant blaster.
Yeah, that's karma. You know, shove two down my throat and then do it anyway.
Pretty much.
All right. Outside of the dog that thinks my fingers are chew toys, before we get into our usual segments, who saw Tough Enough this week?
Not I.
I did.
Oh, thank you, Mace.
Of course I always watch it. I watch it the exact same time you do, Omega.
I was busy Monday.
This is true. Well, Spug, you missed it.
I heard about it on Tuesday, talking to Mason and Wojcik. I heard about it. I heard I finally got to see the moment of Ryan getting eliminated and him pissing Booker T off.
Mm-hmm.
And the midgets.
And I miss midgets.
Miss the midgets basketball game.
The fact that the midgets kicked their ass.
That's embarrassing. One of these people is going to be in the WWE and they can't beat a midget at basketball.
Well, hopefully whoever wins debuts against Hornswoggle.
We can make it a four corners match, put a basketball hoop in each corner. If Hornswoggle makes a shot in each one, you lose.
Don't. Vince Russo might be listening. He might put that on TNA.
This is true. But yeah. Skidmarks is finally gone.
Good.
Yeah, he finally ran out of luck.
Well, it wasn't even it wasn't even luck. It came down to.
Did he pull an M-Dog 20 and say something stupid?
Here's what he did. Here's what he did. Austin got in his face and asked, Are you giving me everything? And he says, yes, I'm giving you everything I can. Wrong answer. Because if that's everything, this is his third time at Elimination Risk.
Right.
So the last thing you want to tell Austin is, yes, I'm giving you everything. Well, obviously, it's not good enough because you're here for the third time, and he axed him.
I saw that this week they're eliminating two people.
Yep. And the episode's official title is "It's Getting Down to Nut Cutting Time."
So this week the women go.
Well, if it's nut cutting time, then it's probably going to be guys getting cut.
I saw a poster for a local show over the weekend that M-Dog's supposed to be at, and I thought he had an FCW contract. And I did a little bit more digging. And, if he doesn't have an FCW contract, how the hell are you going to keep the Devalicious wench and not M-Dog? Because she does have an FCW contract.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's been able to confirm that she does.
I mean,
she came out and said it herself, and most reports are like, nobody in FCW's seen her show up. Nobody's heard of her being there.
I mean, because seriously, if she does and M-Dog doesn't, that's fucking stupid.
Now, right now, as far as anyone knows, it has as much validity as me claiming that I have an FCW contract, which Omega, is more believable because I'm actually in Florida.
Omega, you are probably 10 times the wrestler that stupid bitch is.
Probably. I don't come up with my own stupid-ass catchphrase.
That's right, she did come up with a stupid-ass catchphrase, didn't she?
Every time she said Devalicious, I wanted to just like punch her in the throat.
You and me both, buddy.
God.
Want to blow her up. But now, like, who are we left with? Does anyone know, or does anyone care enough to know?
Here, let me see. We are left with Martin, Christina, AJ, Andy, Jeremiah, Luke, who... Luke got put on Risk this week.
Luke got a wake-up call.
Ivelisse and Eric we are left with as well. Well, and here's the thing. Luke won the skill challenge on the first two episodes, and ever since then has been kind of going down. As far as the trainers are concerned.
Yeah, is the Mississippi MMA boy still in it?
Yeah, he's still there. Mister, I don't have front teeth.
That did make me like him when the teeth fell out and he didn't think twice about stopping to get them.
Kept running the ropes.
Right.
I think that impressed DeMott and Austin a little bit too.
Probably did.
I think it's becoming more and more apparent that none of these guys have an actual shot in the company. Like, they'll end up like NXT people.
It makes me think they'll end up like Josh Matthews, who is a tough enough veteran.
Was he really?
Yeah. Actually, Josh Matthews has been employed by the WWE the longest after Tough Enough. Like, longer than Morrison and Miz.
Hmm.
Yeah,
funny how these things work.
Yeah. But then again, Matthews has been on commentary as opposed to actually wrestling.
Still, he's been with the WWE 9 years.
True. But I just see whoever wins this, they don't end up on, like they do like a month on WWE television and then they're released.
As long as he doesn't end up in the crowds shouting hoorah, I'll be fine.
Can they stand in the crowd and go, I love double double E?
Double double D. See, I think honestly think Luke's got the potential to do something.
Luke has potential. What he doesn't have right now is he doesn't have much class to his abilities. Like, he knows he's good at what he does, but he knows it too well. I was telling Mace while we were watching the episode, I like that they put him in the bottom three this week just to shake his ass up a little bit.
Maybe it will.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. I am glad the show's sticking to the gritty stuff, though. It's very worried about
it. I'm just liking Bill DeMont kicking the living shit out of him.
Yeah.
I've always had respect for, like, the Hugh Morris character and everything. But, man, I've got mad respect for Bill DeMont, the man, now.
Well, I read an interview with Rima after she was eliminated or left or whatever happened there, that they were in the ring and he was, you know, they were training, and this is, I don't know if it was during filming or what, because the article wasn't real specific and you couldn't garner a whole lot from her quote, but she said, you know, she was taking body slams from Bill and she started bawling in the middle of it, and you know, he pulled her aside and said, Rima, I have two daughters. What the hell's wrong? And I guess she had been in the ring with Miss 11 Years doing some work, and Miss 11 Years hurt her.
Well, that's what happens when you have somebody like Miss 11 Years who's self-fucking-taught.
Mm-hmm.
That just irks me. Self-taught people annoy the living shit out of me.
Until I went to school, Mace, the majority of my stuff I learned on my own.
Yeah, how much of it do you retain today?
A good bit of it. It's where I first learned how to do a flat back, take a suplex, and do the tumbles.
How did he learn to take a suplex by himself?
Handstand.
Okay. All right. Okay, not on the topic list, but I want to mention it because it's something else that I'm sure annoyed the shit out of Mace. Mace, what'd you think of the two hour obsession over The Rock that was Monday Night Raw this week?
I was glad that I had to leave in the middle of it for physio. That was vomit inducing. That was, like, I know that they're trying to go, yeah, we're not wrestling, we're entertainment. That wasn't even entertaining.
I know. I mean, aside from the fact that you gave Rock a mic, and okay, the stuff with Cole, fine. End the segment there. Don't have some random music guy no one's heard of come out.
Yeah.
And don't end the night on 10 minutes of fucking nothing.
See, I didn't watch from the, what was it, the Kofi Kingston match or whatever the hell. Alberto Del Rio came out to do commentary. It was like Rey Mysterio versus Kofi Kingston. That's where I left. And I didn't even bother watching the rest of the show when I got home.
Yeah, they end the match on the night with the 10-minute Rock promo, most of which was Vince coming out to play his personal love letter to The Rock. And there's nothing funny or witty about any of it. It's just kind of there. You know, it's one of those things where you keep it's like one of those video packages where you keep expecting, you know, like, it's Vince who put this together. You keep expecting it to be like, okay, when Rock got thrown into a river, you know, crap like that. You know, just, you know, the embarrassments of Rock's career all of a sudden. And no! I mean, it struck me as the kind of thing that would play after Raw went off the air.
And no Mick Foley.
Yeah, no Mick Foley. There was one moment I actually liked, which was Rock in the backstage where, is it Vicky and Dolph trying to fuck with him with Mae Young? And Rock.
I read about that. The Rock actually likes Mae Young.
Well, there's no reason not to like her. I mean, let's be honest. And that's about the one amusement I got out of The Rock this week.
Mind you, I did like the fact that my powers of precognition were right once again. Women's match.
Hey.
Sacrifices for Kong.
Well, just one. Kelly didn't get sacrificed.
Oh, her time will come.
That's the one thing that I didn't understand was why she didn't, you know, why Kong destroyed Maryse but didn't destroy Kelly.
The same thing happened on SmackDown between Layla and I think it
Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox, yeah. Alicia Fox actually tried standing up to Kong, which, well, anybody who's seen Kong, bad idea.
Didn't work out very well.
You mean one of the participants in the greatest match ever in the WWE?
Oh God, that's one of the best things that came out of Tough Enough this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, this is dragging on.
This is dragging on.
I think we need to debate things.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to debate things just yet. We have Actually, you know what? I'll toss it to you. What do you want to do? We got the round table or the great debate?
We got a half hour. Why don't we do a quick round table and get into the great debate and quick hits?
That works for me. Okay. All right. The roundtable discussion this week. Should wrestling fans and wrestling companies finally move on from the Attitude Era?
I thought they did. Well, wrestling companies have moved on from the Attitude Era. They've embraced the more PG, almost 80s stylings of, well, the 80s. Wrestling fans, on the other hand, seem to be stuck on the Attitude Era was the best era. The Monday Night Wars era was the best era. You know what? They need to drop it and just move on. The reason why, you know, TNA won't take off with fans is because they're expecting TNA to be WCW. You know, and they turn around and go, well, that's not working, so we'll go to the WWE. They're expecting the WWE to be, you know, DX and the Nation of Domination and The Rock and Austin and all that. Those guys aren't there. So they need to just grow up, move on, and try and find something to enjoy about today's product.
I don't think necessarily that companies have moved on from the Attitude Era. I think they want the Attitude Era without the attitude. You know, they want to keep the high interest in the product, but they don't want to have the racier storylines and the stuff like that. And I guess I get it to a point, but I think the one thing that really, 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 really is hurting wrestling more than anything is the amount of information able to be garnered in today's society via smartphones, the internet, you know, instant access to things. And the advent and use of television in wrestling. You know, 20 years ago, well, yes, wrestling was used in TV. It was pre-recorded. And, you know, they only showed you what they wanted you to see. If you wanted to see the whole show, you had to go to the house show to see it. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't wait until Friday or go on the internet and read the spoilers. And part of the appeal of the Attitude Era was that people wanted to go to the venues. And now with the information and the ability to garner it, nobody wants to go to the arena. They could just look it up on the internet. Or they can get it in an email. There's no reason for them to go to the venue. So that the wrestling companies still want the attendance and the interest of the Attitude Era, but without the things that they were offering us in the Attitude Era. And yes, it is time for them to move on.
Now, part of me wants to agree with Mace in that I think a lot of the companies have moved on from the Attitude Era. We are getting a more PG product. We are getting something more along the lines of what we had in the 80s. But at the same time, I feel they want to keep a lot of the grittier characters and a lot of the more realistic characters they had at the time in the Attitude Era. You see, unless it's something like a Sin Cara, which comes along, which is the first since Rey Mysterio to actually have some kind of, like, character, like, larger than life kind of persona to him. Everyone else is very straight laced. Everyone else has a very realistic name. Nobody really has monikers of any kind anymore. I mean, the only one you have like in now is The Miz.
Randy Orton.
Well,
the Viper.
Yeah, but,
hey, you said moniker. I'm just throwing it out there, buddy.
I know. But that is still like, okay, well, you know, we call Stone Cold Steve Austin the Rattlesnake.
Right.
You know, but we also had Jake the Snake Roberts. I didn't see either Orton or Austin bringing a python to the ring. You know, there's a difference between a moniker and a character. I mean, you can call somebody anything, but to actually portray it, that's a little bit different. And it's something WWE just doesn't do anymore. It just seems to me that they want to have it both ways. They want to do the 80s style where it appeals to kids, but they also want the Attitude Era where they're producing something that adults can get into. And you can't do it both ways.
You can't please everyone 100% of the time.
Right.
I hate to say it, but it's almost like they need to strip down a little bit and go back to basics, you know, and I realized that we, you know, that ability was lost when WWE became a publicly traded company. But if you stop and think about it, you know, if they strip back, and we say this a lot, to 6 to 8 pay-per-views a year, they could keep the same number of house shows. You know, if you continued on with 2 television shows, but did it in a way where it was one roster united, I think when you have a title match for your heavyweight title, be it the World Heavyweight title or the WWE title, if you have one set of championships that garners more interest from the fans, because, you know, the logic of, well, I missed this title match, but there'll be another one in the same show. You know, I missed the WWE title match, but I'll get to see the World Heavyweight title. If you have one title, you're going to garner more attention for that match. And the belts are going to mean something more in a storyline value than they do right now. You know, it for as global and as large as the WWE is, it almost makes sense to kind of strip back just a little bit
and get back to the basics. You know, get back to some reasoning in your storylines. Get back to a little bit of the, you know, I mean, even in the 80s, there was drama in the storylines. You know, WrestleMania 5, Mega Powers Collide, Hogan and Savage.
Right. You know,
that had tremendous drama behind it. And that was in a essentially a PG era. You know, I mean.
And you also had builds back then where, you know, you start something for WrestleMania at SummerSlam.
Or Survivor Series.
And you build. You know, I know we've got this 12-month build between Cena and The Rock, but that's not going to keep interest for 12 straight months.
No. Well, they're not even doing much with it right now. I mean, Cena this week came out, you know, say, hey, you know, now our match at WrestleMania might be a championship match, and that was pretty much it.
It won't be.
No, of course it won't be.
I can't imagine. I really can't imagine them having the belt on.
Well,
on
in a way, I could say yes, because that would it'd bring in people to say, hey, The Rock is going to be in the championship match, and it is supposed to be the main event.
Okay, but here's the thing. We all know The Rock's not coming back to wrestling.
Oh yeah.
On any sort of basis. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even on a Triple H schedule, he's not coming back. So to go into WrestleMania and have your title match be The Rock versus Cena, we know automatically Cena's going over. Anybody with half a brain automatically knows Cena's going to win.
Right.
So you've eliminated right there the interest in that match. Before you've even had the competitors walk down the ramp and people plunk down their 50, 60 bucks for it on pay-per-view, or their hundreds of dollars to go to the show, you know, you've eliminated any interest in that match because people automatically know who's going to win.
And just to sort of harken back to the whole build-up idea, and let's put up against, well, the one that everybody put up against originally, which was Hogan Sting.
Right.
The reason that was successful was because you still had Sting around. He just never spoke. And the whole mystery was what kept people tuning in.
Right.
It's not like you can't turn around and go to Rock or Cena. Okay, you shut up. Don't hear a word out of you for 12 months. That's not going to work in today's age.
It doesn't work for those two gimmicks.
No, not those two.
You could do it today, but you'd have to have the proper gimmick. Like, if you did it with, say, Undertaker and, for example, Undertaker and Triple H at this year's WrestleMania, it would work because we've had those moments in Undertaker's career where he has been silent. You know, he hasn't spoken a whole lot, even without Paul Bearer. So it would have worked. You know, you could do it with him.
It did work. Their first promo made everybody just lose their minds.
I know, but I mean, to your point that a match like that, a build up like that wouldn't work, it would, it just requires the proper gimmick.
And I'll remind everyone that the gimmick is going on right now, and it's Karma.
Mm-hmm.
Karma's spoken volumes in her brief time in a WWE so far, and all she has done is laughed.
That cackle is creepy. It's creepy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. But my big thing here is I like the slow build. I like the anticipation of this match being, you know, 3-4 months down the road. Not, we'll have these guys have a match at the pay-per-view this month, and then it'll continue to next month, and the next month. I want something that's going to build over 3-4 months, and at the fourth month pay-per-view, there's your blow-off. Just one match.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you need.
Well,
they don't
think,
do it these days.
I mean, you would keep the big four. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania. You throw in your King of the Ring in June. And then, you know, something in... Oh, God. Could you keep one in the spring? I mean, because you kind of need something to get you from the Royal Rumble to Mania. Because as we've seen in the past few years, Mania's right about the beginning of April. And so you have a two-month period where if you put, say, a sixth pay-per-view at a base minimum six, right? If you put one at the end of February, beginning of March, where it was more of a blow off slash setup pay per view to get you to set up the rest of the card for Mania to get you to there, I think it could really work. You could really work six pay per views. And I think the buy rates would increase a hell of a lot more than they are.
I wouldn't put a pay-per-view in between Mania, well, Rumble and Mania.
Okay.
I'd put a three-hour Raw in there somewhere.
See, you could throw three-hour Raws throughout the year. I mean, they have, what, three or four?
Yeah, but the thing with that is, you've got, like you said, you've got two blank months in which you can build all your other feuds, all your other storylines and matches for Mania. If you really need, you don't need to have a 3-hour pay-per-view in there if you do like maybe 1 3-hour Raw in those 2 months.
See, I personally would throw one more show in. I would throw right at the end of February, beginning of March, I would throw one last pay-per-view in. You know, I would throw one in, and it wouldn't be like No Way Out. You know, I would try to, there might be a gimmick match or two in there, but if I'm Vince McMahon and I have the ability to essentially write the book, my heavyweight champion is not going to be in a gimmick match. The heavyweight championship might be up for grabs, but if I have a real strong storyline leading into Mania, you know, I'm going to make sure that my champion's walking into Mania as is. So, you know, the heavyweight champion might be on the card, but my undercard belts, you know, my IC belt, my tag titles, if I'm going to put a gimmick match up, it's going to be for one of those. It's not going to be, you know, not going to be my heavyweight title.
No, you wouldn't put it, you know, your heavyweight title into the gimmick match folder, so to say. And personally, I like your idea of the one champion. And it should be the one champion goes up against your winner from the Rumble, like it always has been, like it always should be. But that's the, you know, we all have ways that we would like to fix the business, and we've pretty much gone like so far off topic. It's, you know, we might as well start talking. We might as well start talking about, you know, Japanese Bugman at this point. So. Do we want to move on to the Great Debate, or?
You guys should move on to the Great Debate, but I don't,
we should. But we should.
We're waiting for Spog to get back with us.
I was trying not to bring that up, Brock.
Well, I'm bringing it up, because it was his little topic, but Omega, lead the show. Great Debate.
Right. Time for the Great Debate.
There's no fancy intro, so. Just go with it.
Son of a bitch.
Hello?
There you go.
That was interesting.
How long have we been doing the Great Debate and we still don't have a fucking intro?
We had intros last year. I haven't made new ones yet. Just move on.
Yeah, fucking off.
Do we have to be a bunch of morons before you'll do something for us?
Okay, why am I looking at this thing? It says great debate, and then before it even goes to round one, I have something I have.
We have to have our play-in.
We have a play-in, yes.
We have a play-in?
Yes.
We couldn't decide on the 16th person.
Yes. So, the actual great debate starts next week.
No, we're doing play-in and a round one this week.
Are we really? I thought we were just doing a play-in.
No, we're doing a play-in.
I haven't done any research, goddammit. I was just doing all the play-in. I played on the play-in.
It's in the format. If you read the format.
You expect me to read?
It's why I send it out. There is a layout of the show.
Unless it's written on a pair of tits, you know Spug doesn't read it.
For real.
But yes, we have a play-in. Explain the two people, Omega.
I'm not even sure what the fuck's going on. All it says in my rundown is Paul Heyman versus the Sinister Minister James Mitchell.
Yes, this is the great debate for the greatest wrestling manager of all time.
And the winner of this matchup goes into spot 16 in the tournament.
Which will then face off against
Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan, yes.
Wow.
Wow, way to stack the deck.
Heyman, Mitchell, this is clearly stacked poorly, because I would put both of these guys in this great debate.
And that's why we're having this play-in. Because we couldn't decide either one, we couldn't decide to put both of them in.
And we couldn't take anyone else out.
Right.
All right. So, first, the play-in. Mace, pick.
It's interesting. Both guys have really good characters. You know, if you look at terms of who's led men to championships, which I'm sure will be brought up so many times in this tournament, Paul Heyman obviously has the advantage. But to me, Paul Heyman is going to be the guy who ran ECW and eventually ran it into the ground. But James Mitchell, I always remember going back to the first time I saw him when he was with Wrath and Mortis. He's always had a character that was very memorable. You remember his character quite well.
Memorable? Is that the word you're looking
That's
for?
That's the one. Memorable.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So I'm going to go with James Mitchell. Because he's one of the guys that I will actually remember as a manager.
Alrighty. One for the Sinister Minister. Spug.
I am going to go with Heyman. And that while Mitchell is definitely memorable, some of the greatest gimmicks that we remember, would have squandered away had it not been for Paul Heyman. We have, you know, Austin and the Hollywood Blondes were really, really kind of allowed to flourish with Heyman. And quite frankly, when he was a manager in ECW, with Sabu and Taz and 911, and his ability to talk really, really kind of made that all. So I'm going to go with Heyman.
This is a hard pick. And I do agree, Heyman's got a lot going for him. I mean, he's been pretty much everything that you can be in a pro wrestling program outside of an actual wrestler. But when I think of Paul Heyman, I think more the promoter. I mean, the guy does have an amazing eye for talent and how to market that talent. You know, and he's a, we credit him so much, you know. And how many times do we wish that he was the one with the book in TNA? Maybe not now. I don't think I'd want him going down with a sinking ship at this point. Again. But honestly, we're talking, talking managers here. I have to go with James Mitchell. Just as Paul Heyman in a managerial role specifically, I remember for guys like Brock Lesnar that he led down to the ring and barking at during a match. Mitchell just has a persona to him. You know, where he is almost bigger than the characters he brings down to the ring, which is something that a great manager should be able to do. I mean, that's the whole idea of a manager, is to be big enough and good enough at what you do to get over whatever talent you are paired with. And if you're talking a monster, a demoness, or any kind of evil character, you get James Mitchell. Because put the guy in a red suit, he looks like fucking Satan. So I believe that 2-1, James Mitchell gets spot number 16 and a dubious honor of facing Bobby the Brain Heenan.
The Weasel versus Satan.
There's a cage match for the ages.
So now we're on to round one.
We're getting close to our 2 hours. We want to do round one this week?
That's what I said.
Screw it. Let's do a quick hit and get out of here.
Fine, we'll hold on.
Round one next week.
We'll do round one next week, yeah.
We'll claim that we're holding over till Tim gets in, but we want to stick to time here.
Fine, we'll stick to time. It's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
And we are going to start off with Omega for this week's quick hits. Omega, how many more appearances should The Rock make on TV in 2010?
Well, in 2010, he's already done making appearances.
Are you sure about that one? They apparently want him for more. Or not 2010, 2011. I bet.
Okay, there you go, Rock.
Well, wrong year, whatever.
Follow along.
Well, wrong year, 2011.
Honestly, if they use it right, I wouldn't mind him appearing once a month just to keep him around and keep him in everyone's mind. But it can't be any nonsense like it was this week, which is basically just Vince McMahon wanking off Rock for 2 hours. Because it wasn't entertaining, it wasn't amusing, and it wasn't what it isn't what the audience loves about The Rock. Yeah, it just wasn't a way of showcasing him in the least. It's difficult because Rock isn't going to step into the ring until Mania. But I don't know. I think you could play a little story on him. You could have him coming in once a month just to show his presence. Have him cut a few promos. Beat up Michael Cole again. And at least keep everyone happy and knowledge that he is around.
Okay. Spug.
Mm-hmm.
Who of the young talent group in the WWE, that's basically the upper mid-card talent, the young kids, in WWE, who should be their top priority?
individuals who have proven on a different level that they can carry a company. Guys like CM Punk, who is one of the young guys still. Daniel Bryan is another one. A name that people kind of cringe at when they hear it, but Sheamus is another. And I would say Alberto Del Rio.
Okay.
And, of course, The Miz, but he's already got a title belt under his ring, so I think that's a given.
Yeah, I think he's now main event.
There is actually a report that even though he lost the title, they do want to keep attention on him.
Yeah. Okay, Mace, would you want to see a reunion of America's Most Wanted in TNA?
No. As good as AMW were, I'm going to come out and say it. Beer Money is better. They've gotten over a lot more than AMW did. You know, especially the fact that it's allowed James Storm to actually create his own character. You know, as AMW, Harris and Storm were just almost generic until, well, till very late in the era when they were going up against the Dudleys and they actually started to build the characters. But, yeah, I'd say keep Beer Money, don't do a reunion of AMW.
Because you know the reports are that that's the plan.
Yeah, I know that's the reports, but then again, I'm hoping the reports are bloody wrong.
Yeah, hopefully they are. We'll stick with you, Mace. What is your guilty pleasure Disney movie?
Please be a Tinkerbell movie. Please be a Tinkerbell movie.
Guilty pleasure Disney movie. See, now I'm trying to go through Disney movies in my head, man. Does this include Disney Pixar or?
Whatever. Just Disney in general. If it's owned by Disney, go with it.
I don't know.
Come on!
I'm even trying to find a list of Disney movies to try and remind myself of what the fuck I've watched over the years.
They've only made 3,000. Pick one.
Exactly! They've made that many goddamn movies, and I've seen so goddamn many of them.
Make the Hannah Montana movie.
Oh, hell no! Not that bad. Well, I suppose I'll go with the one that I actually put on the most that just happens to be a Disney movie, which would be the Aladdin trilogy. Mind you, little things like bed knobs and broomsticks and... Was that a Disney movie?
Yes.
Hello? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll
yes,
give it
no?
Yes, it was.
And Mary Poppins, you know, those type. I like the old musicals. There you go. It's not a Hannah Montana movie. It's not a Tinkerbell movie. Mace likes musicals.
And that's a look into the mind of Mace. Spock, with today being Mother's Day and all, who's wrestling's hottest MILF?
Who all has kids?
It's a bunch.
You ask a question like, who's wrestling's hottest MILF, and I have no idea who all has kids.
Yeah,
so.
You have Sable, Dawn Marie, Francine, a few others that I can't think of. Candice Michelle has a kid.
Out of that grouping, I would go with Candice Michelle.
It's the only people I can actually think of. I thought there were more, but... I don't know. It was a Mother's Day-related question. I had to try to tie it in somehow. Topical. And finally, Omega, if you could press a button that will make any one person explode, who would you blow up and why?
You give him that power. Out of all the people you give that power, you give it to Omega. What a waste! You should have given it to Spug!
But we all know what Spug would go crazy. Let Omega have some fun.
Michael Bay. For number one, for fucking up my franchise. And number two, I find it hilarious if an explosion ended him.
That would be irony.
But that wraps up Quick Hits then.
God. Yay, we're done. Good night, everybody.
Well,
slow down.
They had another diva report. Gail Kim is being taken away from us. She's getting married. She's off the market. To a Food Network chef of all people.
Who?
Robert Irvine, the guy who does Dinner Impossible, Worst Cooks.
Oh.
The British one.
Mm-hmm.
Most random fucking thing I've ever heard this week.
This is rather random.
Alright, so what's going on this week? We usually pimp shit at this time.
I have no idea what the hell's going on. Wojcik's not here, and we didn't have a show last week, so we'll probably end up talking about Thor on OTL, though.
And we'll see if Wojcik has a guest, but tune in 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday night for OWL Radio. Wednesday OTL, 9 p.m. Eastern. And CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish. And next week, 11 p.m. Eastern for WTR, Sunday night.
After TNA is so awesome pay-per-view.
Mace!
What?
It's not like mentioning World of Warcraft. Come on.
And, before we go, go to cbradio.ewazone.com and buy our newest t-shirt, Mace.
Yes, there is now a Sense Motherfucker Do You Make It t-shirt. Go buy it.
Buy it now.
Along with the Ellen Wojcik movie reference name drop. And meh.
Yeah, and all the other fun stuff. cbradio.ewazone.com.
Yep. I have dinosaur feet.
That's nice.
I went to Walking with Dinosaurs. They had the dinosaur slippers. I had to get them.
Take us out, Omega.
For Rock, for Mace, for Spug, for the absent Tim Stein, this is the Omega. Tune in next week after the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view, where you will hear us crying like children scared in a corner. And the pay-per-view might actually be worse than that. We'll be there 11 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Until then, good night, everybody.